You know, after an angelic host giving you confirmation and then also a bunch of shepherds giving confirmation that your child is the Son of God, you would think you'd be good. Yet, for some reason, Mary and Joseph needed a little bit more. And today on the Midweek Move, we're going to talk about that. Hello and welcome to Midweek Move, podcast extension of The Healing Place, the podcast where we examine the scriptures line by line, verse by verse, and ask ourselves, what is happening here? And today, ladies and gentlemen, I am joined by my good friend, one of the greatest youth pastors in all of Shreveport, and one of my favorite singers, Mr. Ben Schmaltz.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I don't know about some of those accolades, but I appreciate the love. I appreciate the love.
Oh, man, I'm excited to have you back on. It's been a minute since you've been on the show.
Has been, yeah.
And, for those of you who don't know, Ben, you are the youth pastor at Gateway Church here in Shreveport, Louisiana.
That's right, right here in Shreveport, Gateway Church, student pastor, amongst other things. But
Been faithfully serving the Lord for many years.
And absolutely.
You're an ordained minister in the Assemblies of God. Mm-hmm. And you sing a lot also.
I do. I like to worship the Lord in any way that I can.
That's awesome. I bring up the singing aspect of it because here in a little while we're going to be actually talking about a song, a prophetic song that's spoken out. It's kind of a poetic and everything like that. And so I say this to get the groundwork of you have insight on singing prophetically, singing in the spirit as you worship the Lord.
Sure.
And I think that's a special thing that takes place, singing unto the Lord, revealing your heart to God. And I think that, you know, we make a joke. The Bible says to give a joyful noise, not necessarily a pretty one.
Yeah.
I do not make pretty noises, but you do.
Thank you.
But, and I know we're kind of rambling here, but it's a talent and a skill that you have that honestly I envy sometimes. But you have the opportunity to lead people in those type of things. And today, as we go into this conversation, we see Mary and Joseph, and there is, they're going to, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see them go through some stuff. They're going to have some confirmation given to them, one part through a prophetic song that's not just comforting to them, but to the singer themselves. And so this is going to be a really interesting conversation today as we dive into Luke chapter 2. We're going to be continuing up in Luke 22. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been in Luke. We had our friend Doug Parker of Destiny Church and Direct Message Ministries, who's very prophetic, a fantastic gentleman. And we kind of talked to the birth of Jesus and what that looked like and how it's not necessarily the Hallmark card experience that people talk about.
Right.
And this is, we're picking up an interesting time frame on the back end of this. So let's jump into it. Chapter 2, starting in verse 22. And it says this, and when the time for their purification, for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of Moses, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord and to offer the sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. So we're going to kind of pause the conversation right there for just a brief second. Here, Luke, he's continuing this conversation. And again, we know that he's writing to a Gentile leader of some sort who seems to come to faith, and which is why he's leaning so heavily on, let me explain to you why they're doing this. Mm-hmm. He's pointing back to these Old Testament writings, these things that are taking place. But in this, we discover some aspects about the family of Jesus. We find out that Mary and Joseph, that they seem to be very concerned about making sure that they're in proper standing with God. Yeah. They're observant of the cultural laws that God has for his people. This is demonstrated by the fact that Mary went through the days of purification, which for my reading, this is like 2 months, almost 3 months long of a process of being purified post-childbirth. And even, not just after childbirth, but also, it's a double shot. You give birth, you become unclean. And then because the mother's taking care of the child while he's being circumcised, she's like double unclean. Mm. And so it's a lengthy process they have to go through. But Mary and Joseph, they're like, we're going to do this. We're going to do this right. And so they're concerned about making sure they're in proper standing with God. But then they're also concerned to make sure their child is raised appropriately.
Right.
This is demonstrated by them coming to the temple to have them dedicated according to the Old Testament laws that are there. And then we also see that they're poor. Part of the purification process is offering a lamb, which I don't know if you've been to the grocery store lately. That's expensive.
Yeah.
Sure. For us now.
Yes.
Back then.
Yes.
That was a thing.
Expensive.
But the Lord, and this is what I love about God, is he's not a respecter of people's, like, you know, you don't have to be wealthy to be a Christian, right, as opposed to what some people try to say.
Right, right.
He made provision for them. And he said, look, if you can't afford a lamb, then you bring a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons.
Yep.
So we get the point that, again, Mary and Joseph, they're very concerned about their right staying with the Lord, mm-hmm, raising up their son in the fear and admonition of the Lord, but also they're not a wealthy family, which is interesting because, again, this is the king of the Jews,
yeah,
which is very counter because, again, people's mindset is that, you know, the Messiah is supposed to be this. But let me ask you this, Ben. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's important that Luke makes it known that Jesus' parents were very faithful to their faith and that they were poor?
Yeah, so that scripture that it's referencing, found in the turtle dove scriptures, right, is found in Leviticus 12:8. It says, if a woman can't afford to bring a lamb, she must bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. One will be for the burnt offering and the other for the purification offering. The priest will sacrifice them to purify her, and she will be ceremonially clean. Again, that's Leviticus 12:8. And I just believe, I wrote it down so I would say it correctly because I wanted to communicate it correctly. Jesus came to fulfill the law.
Right.
Fulfill in a Jewish context means to uphold or to properly interpret the Torah so that people can obey it as God really intended.
Right.
So it would have been incredibly important to that Jesus' parents followed the law given to Leviticus for Jesus to be able to fulfill the law. Because if he would have never he would have never been accepted as a Messiah if that was skipped by his parents.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't set up to even follow the law from birth.
Right.
And so it's a huge thing in Jewish culture. The law is very important. Now, we live in a grace age. We live in a in a day where it's like, oh, do whatever you want. Now, not that that's biblical, but do whatever you want, kind of a feel. And the Jewish culture is, it's very strict on following. I mean, their following of the law was their relationship with God. That was how they honored God.
And, absolutely.
It started out from the beginning. So your question of why, I just don't think that Jesus could have ever been viewed as a Messiah from any Jewish person had they not gone through the same thing, because the Messiah was Jewish.
Right.
And if you're not following the Jewish law, then you're not following the Jewish way. Now, I love the thing that the poor aspect of it is why was that important? The Bible is filled with stories and characters and people, women and men alike, that were just broken and beat down and not what we would view as. I mean, we look on Instagram and who do we see? People that are successful, people who are skinny, people who are better looking or have a full set of hair. We look at these people. That's a bald joke for all of us out there. We just envy what? This hero image, this Superman image of people. Mm. And yet we look through scripture and I don't see a single superhero outside of the name Jesus.
Right.
Everybody else is flawed and broken and doesn't have to be well put together. Even Jesus himself was born into a family that was overlooked.
Yeah.
A family that was very poor. But I love it because it shows their dedication to the law. I love that they didn't matter if they were poor, they were going to follow the law.
Right.
They're going to figure it out. I looked it up actually to go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, it's a 92 mile journey, 92 mile journey. And they had to most likely walk because they were poor. Might've had a donkey. They might've did it that way, but it just shows that they would do this all the time. They would make this trip. I mean, Jesus being born, all that stuff, they'd come all the way down from where they were all the way down this large journey.
Right.
Just to say, this is important to us.
Now, just added kind of a plot twist to this. Luke does not record the escape to Egypt at all. So there's some conversations to where about that takes place.
Right.
A lot of commentators are like, they may not have been coming from Bethlehem to here, which would have been closer, but Egypt
even further.
That's dedication.
Sure.
And then add this to it. They're coming to fulfill what God has for them.
Yeah.
Still going, are they still hunting us?
Yeah.
Are they still coming for my son?
Yeah. I mean, it's wild to think we live in a day and age where to get out of our bed on a Sunday morning is considered a sacrifice.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm living for God because I showed up this Sunday.
Right.
No, but these guys just walked with a woman and a young child. I have taken a trip. I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I'm actually going next week on an 11-hour drive to Tennessee with my 8-year-old, just me and him. And it's going to be wild because 8-year-olds, they don't have the attention span to sit in a car.
Right.
I just want to get there. I want to go straight trip, just drive straight through. We're done one day. I'm going to have to break it up because to get an 8-year-old to be able to make that trip and it be pleasant,
right?
We have to stop and we have to get out. We have to stretch our legs. Man, these people are so committed to God and honoring God and living for God that they were willing to sacrifice all of the hardships that it comes. I've rode a donkey in Israel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a wild experience. My legs are almost on the ground, and I'm not a tall guy by any means. 5'8", short kings, we're here. But my feet were so close to the ground, it's not comfortable.
Right.
Maybe they were fortunate to have a camel. That's even worse to me than the donkey ride. Right. That was worse. Man, I can't imagine being on that long. But that's what they were committed. They were committed to the Lord so well. I think it's important because the Lord has shown you he honors those who are committed to him.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter your talents. Doesn't matter your giftings. It doesn't matter your bank account. What matters is, are you committed to the relationship you declare with your mouth, I believe Jesus is Lord. Okay, well, prove it with the way that you live.
Word.
And I love that about this part of the
story. That's so good. You kind of remind me, there's an old song by, are you familiar with Keith Green?
Oh, yeah.
He has this old song, and he has this line in it that, it's funny, it's convicting. And I try to stay away from those like snarky convicting lines that people throw out there because oftentimes they're just said with a bad spirit behind them.
Right.
But it's this really great line in the song. He goes, "Jesus rose from the grave and you can't get out of bed."
That's good. That's
good. like it's one of those, again, I don't throw that one out there to be snarky, but it is convicting for me because there were days where I'm a minister in a church and there are days where I'm just like,
I don't want to do it today.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
But it is I'm committed to doing this.
Yeah.
And when God honors that, he genuinely, the days that I feel the worst about coming to church, because again, we're just being real.
Yeah,
there are days where we feel like,
absolutely.
If you think your pastor wants to be at the pulpit every Sunday, I promise you, there are days he doesn't.
Yeah.
There are days where he's been like, I could walk away right now
and
do something else for my family.
For sure.
But those days in my own life, I've discovered those are the greatest blessings.
Yeah.
God has moved and broken me, not people, me more than any other times if we were willing to be faithful and those things.
That's it. If we pursue the Lord, he will return by pouring his spirit out upon you. It's just time. It's proven.
Yeah.
Time and time through scripture, it's proven. In my life as a testimony, I mean, every time that you really are committed and you chase the Lord, I mean, what does the scripture say? Knock and the door will be open.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to knock, he's going to be there to pour his spirit out upon you. And it doesn't mean it always is easy.
Yeah.
As I'm sure that journey wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, even though he was Jesus, it wasn't easy for to raise a kid. It's right. Not, you know, he's probably better than all the rest of us that were kids, but obviously because he's Jesus. But even still, there's challenges.
Yeah.
There's challenges to doing that and living in that culture and the rejection that y'all probably, I didn't watch the episode, but I'm sure y'all talked about Mary and the virgin birth and the challenges that come along with all of that conversation to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that reputation is still on them.
Yeah.
People still know them as, oh yeah, she says she was a virgin.
Yeah.
You know, nobody would believe that. And so, man, it's challenging. It's so rewarding.
Absolutely.
So rewarding.
So good, man. So good. Well, let's continue on. We're here in verse 25. And it says this, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now, this is interesting to me. Here we got this man named Simeon. And according to the most scholars believe that he's probably just a super old guy. Now, there's some legends. I'm calling these legends by some early groups, but they suggested that perhaps he was actually part of the team that translated the Hebrew into the Greek for the original Septuagint.
Wow. Okay.
But that would put him at over 350 years old.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm not saying that's not possible. We've seen the Lord. We see times in scriptures. But either way, he's an old, old man. And here he is, and it says that he's faithful, and what he's faithful to is he's waiting for the remnant of God to walk in the fullness that God has for him.
Mm.
He's got a promise. He wants to walk in this. He's believing the Jews will be redeemed, and the Lord will take care of certain things. And in this time frame, this is interesting because while we had many believing Jews, Joseph and Mary being some of them, much of the leadership, as we're going to discover in future chapters, were a lot more self-centered.
Sure.
They weren't looking to the Lord like they should be.
Sure.
Yet we have this old man named Simeon, and it says that Holy Spirit was upon him.
Yeah, I love that.
And it's interesting because, again, people act like Holy Spirit's just, he doesn't move, he doesn't do anything. Mm. And or they think that he doesn't pop up until Acts chapter 2.
Yeah, right, right.
But previously we see that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
We see that the Lord moving throughout everything. And here he is, this old man, and the Holy Spirit's upon him. Doesn't say he's filled here, but is upon him and is moving in this man's life.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting situation. Now, we'll continue on in verse 26. And it has been revealed to him by Holy Spirit. Mm. Holy Spirit is revealing to this old man that he would not see death before he has seen the Lord's Christ. I got to pause there because that's a crazy promise.
Yeah.
He would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. Yeah. Now, again, if you believe legends, he's already 350 years old.
He's old.
The man's pressing. Right? He's 1 foot in the grave and he's I'm going to see it.
More than 1 foot.
Verse 27, and he came in the spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law. Again, they're following the law. They're doing very Jewish. They're like, we're going to make sure we're in right standing with the Lord. We're raising our kids up correctly. He took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now I'm going to pause right there. Again, the suggestion here is that Simeon, he's a very old gentleman.
Yep.
And the Bible, again, the Bible's silent on his age, but here he is, and he has this promise that he's going to see the Lord's Christ. And all of a sudden, after Lord knows how long, now he's holding this promise in his hands, literally. This is something he's been in anticipation for decades.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
now he's going, this is it.
Yeah. Come on.
This is the promise of the Lord that I've been waiting for. So again, regardless of the stories of how old he really is, let me ask you, because this is a thing for some people. They've received a promise from the Lord. Something, God's like, this is, I'm going to bless you. This is what's going to, and it's clear as the word. Problem is we have this mindset like, man, I want it now.
Come on.
But God's timing is very different.
Very different. Very
different. How do you, as Ben Schmaltz, not Pastor Ben Schmaltz, not prophet, evangelist, whatever, but Ben Schmaltz, father, husband, man who's just faithful and serving the Lord, how do you keep faith in a promise that has been given to you, man?
Man, that really is a trying question. We preached a sermon series. I wasn't a part. My pastor preached a sermon series back in December called In the Waiting. And one of his sermons was When the Waiting Becomes Waiting. And it's spelled when you're waiting, W-A-I-T, into wait, like heavy waiting, W-E-I-G-H-T. It's when the waiting becomes waiting. And so when it becomes heavy, when it becomes difficult, man, imagine. There's this testimony that just comes to mind that we use in that sermon series of this lady in our church, a young lady who for years wanted to be a mother and was couldn't have a child. Her and her husband couldn't have kids for several years. I don't remember. I think it was 7 years or so. And finally, they tried the different ways and all this different stuff to get pregnant. And finally, they conceive, and they're born to them twins. And they have twins. So they're literally holding the blessing of God. And the twins are today, I believe they're 5 years old, and they currently have four kids.
Wow.
So not only was it like a double blessing, the Lord just promised, and you're talking about like literally holding the promise, it's like that expecting mother that has prayed, that has so seized, that has felt since she was a child, I'm going to be a great mom. You know, I see my little daughter holding all her babies when she goes everywhere, and this is what she dreams about.
Right.
And how do we hold on to those dreams in the midst of the storm? I'm just, for my answer to that, because I'm no expert, because I'll be honest, there are times where I struggle with it too, as we all do. But I just am reminded of the story that later in Jesus' life, the disciples are in a boat at the Sea of Galilee, and they're freaking out because this storm, they are fishermen, they are boatmen by trade, they know the waters. It's not like putting me on a boat in the middle of a lake, I'm going to drown regardless, I can't even barely swim. But these guys are professionals, they know what they're doing, they're out in this water, the waves are crashing around, they're scared. Men that are used to working through storms, working in boats, are scared for their lives. Jesus is only asleep in the boat, taking a nap.
Yeah.
And they were scared. They had to wake him up. What are you doing sleeping? And he wakes up and says, you a little faith, seize, be still. You know, that's the paraphrase version. And the storm goes away in a moment's notice. So I have to hold on to the promise that God is still good, even in the waiting.
Yeah.
And that's waiting time frame and the heaviness.
Right.
God is still good. Even if I don't see the, he gave me a promise, I'm going to still continue to do, this guy is full of the Spirit.
Right.
He has not given up on God. Mm. He has not walked away. Simeon here is a man in the Spirit. He is as Pentecostal, Pentecost hadn't even happened, but he is as Pentecostal as a Pentecostal can be.
Right.
He's full of the Holy Ghost, and that hasn't even broken out. and here he is, not giving up. We see so many Christians that are passionate when they're young in faith, and then as time goes on, they let life beat them up and they get off that journey. Here's a guy who maybe 350 years old. Regardless, he's old. He's not giving up.
Mm.
And he's saying, I'm going to stick close to God because he's still good.
Yeah.
And to hold on to a promise that says you're going to see a baby, you're going to hold the Messiah. And here he is looking at that, man, the joy and the peace.
Mm.
It was all worth it.
Yeah.
It was all worth it in that moment. Every waiting, every struggle, every sickness that he may have had to overcome, every back pain I'm sure that he had to deal with,
yeah,
whatever the case. I'm 38 and I'm already getting back pain, so like I get this guy has probably been through a trial or two, but to sit there with the waiting, the heaviness, and the difficulty, I just remind you guys that it's okay to struggle as long as your focus is on Jesus and
word,
your actions are reflecting that you're pursuing him, just like Mary and Joseph earlier in the story.
Yeah, so good, so good. I can't add anything else to that conversation because you did such a great job of just summarizing that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just this whole aspect of waiting for the Lord and going, I'm just going to trust it.
Yeah.
I will add this one thing. We have, Pastor Scott has it's a life verse, and that is, I forgot what word is exactly, but it is hope deferred makes a heart sick, but when it is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. And that is exactly one of those things, like when we're waiting for what the Lord has for us, it's terrible. We're sick. We're like, I just want this, especially we've been waiting for a while.
Yeah.
But when it happens, and that's part of it is like, man, I am holding on because I know that when I receive this,
yeah,
man, it's going to be joyous.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine the joy in Simeon as he's holding baby Jesus, the Messiah.
It's wild.
And now, yeah, out of this emotion that's welled up inside of him is an act of worship.
Yeah, yeah.
As you, and this again, this is kind of what I'm, you know, with you as a singer, as a worshiper yourself, we have this song comes out, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this.
It's, sure.
Verse 29 through 32, it says this, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, meaning die, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This is a simple, and again, it's called at some places it's called a song, a psalm of some sort,
yeah,
but
yeah,
it's an expression of praise.
Yeah.
But also prophetic speaking.
Sure.
When you as a leader, you're leading people and you have this, how do you know when to release what God's put inside of you to speak
good
over people and stuff?
That's
like
good.
That?
Well, one, it comes from doing it a lot and learning and maybe doing it at the wrong times and having good coaches in your life that are willing to coach you. But I think, man, it's, I always heard this growing. I heard this when I was young. I wasn't even a worship leader at the time. I was barely into music. Started playing when I was about 12 years old, so I was around that age.
Mm-hmm.
It was a church we were at as a kids growing up, and the pastor preached a sermon, or one of the pastors, or maybe it was the worship guy, I don't even remember. But the analogy was that worship is oftentimes like a birthday card, that they could be as clever as can be, but none of that other, the jokes or whatever is written in there, the cute little poem or whatever that's in there is great, but it's the little blurb that your grandmother wrote in that you keep that card for.
Yeah.
Or the little thing that mom wrote to you about how great of a son and how proud she is of you that sticks with you. And worship is often like that. You can sing songs that other people write. You can sing How Great Thou Art. I don't know why that's the one that came to mind, but it's, whatever song, you know, whatever song is in your heart, whatever is the trendy song right now, you know, Make Room is a real, real trendy one that we love at our church. It's, you can sing those songs and they're written and they're great, but when you put your own testimony, and again, you don't have to be the best singer, but you put that into praise, you put that into prayer, you put that out there to say, I'm going to declare the promises of God. So how do I know when to do that? I don't think there's ever a wrong time to put in. Now, there may be a wrong moment, like as far as like if you're in a service or you have to weigh that. But I mean, if you're releasing that, if you're in your worship service and they're singing a song that just fires you up, you're in the audience, start praising. When they say, sing out your praise, sing your testimony, sing it to the Lord. I remember one day when that just made sense to me, I challenged a group of guys that we were training up to be worship leaders, a bunch of young kids, 15 to 20. And I put out the challenge. I said, hey, I want you guys to lead me in worship right now. Go. And they were like, what? I said, lead me in worship. I want you guys to help make me want to worship. And they all were like looking around. It was about 15 kids. They're looking around and one of them's like, do we sing? And I was like, if you want to. And so they all just start singing this random song. And I was like, okay, this is getting weird. Let's just stop. It was a little awkward. And I said, hey, pause for a second. Everybody close their eyes. I want to show you guys something. Think about the time when Jesus Christ came into your life, where you were before you ever knew about him. You might've been 4 years old. You might've been 12 years old. Again, these are teenagers, so they're younger.
Yeah.
You might've been yesterday. It might've been last week before you came to this event. Wherever you were, where it clicked, the God of all creation came to earth. He sent his son to die on a cross to be that turtle dove sacrifice to make you pure so that way you can live eternity in his house, in his place.
Yeah.
That should do something inside of you.
Right.
Do you feel what that is doing? And they were like, yeah. I said, well, raise your hands and tell him thank you. And they raised their hands, and I tell you, the Holy Spirit fell in that little classroom, and we started worshiping. We weren't singing a song, and we're just lifting him up for about 30 seconds to a minute. It wasn't even long. And I said, guys, worship is not about your talent or your ability. It's about giving God the praise he deserves.
Yeah.
And, man, giving him honor. And that's what Simeon is doing in this scripture. He's just praying. Finally, all the waiting has come to this bottle, what is it, his neck, where it's right there. He sees the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel, and he's like, praise Jesus, he's good. God.
God.
Praise Jesus, I guess. But praise the Lord, I'm holding your salvation, I think is how it was worded. Yeah,
that's so
from
good.
My eyes have seen your salvation. That's just, man, so how do we release that? When do we release that? Times where you're struggling. Times where your enemy seems bigger than you. David scoffed at the face of Goliath.
Yeah.
You know, scoff at the face of your enemies. Your God is stronger than your giants.
Right.
Any moments that you're in that. Now, again, if you're in ministry, there's moments you have to interject and not interject and learn how to do that in a service setting. But in your personal life, man, every situation, God is worth the praise. The worst situation in the best situation. Yeah. Obviously, this is one of the best for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. That's a great answer. And I want to encourage you guys maybe it's time for you to do a little pause this podcast and take a moment and praise the Lord. Give him praise for what's going on inside of you. And, you know, if you're in your dark moments, I promise you, this was not the first time that Simeon praised the Lord.
Right.
Simeon's been waiting for decades for the coming of the Christ, and he's scared, I'm going to give praise no matter what. If you're in a moment, take a moment and just go pray. Yeah. Like, literally hit the pause button, put the phone down, put the YouTube away and go do it. Let us know how that goes, but let's know how we can pray with you also. I want to look at a couple of quick things in this praise that he gives, this blessing that he has. And that is, he goes, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He doesn't say my eyes have seen the Messiah.
Right.
It says your salvation, suggesting that Jesus himself is the Messiah.
Yeah.
It's not, the salvation doesn't come from anything else or anyone else.
Jesus.
It is just Jesus. I don't care what the world wants you to believe.
Yep.
Or the postmodern progressive individuals.
Right.
Salvation is through Jesus alone.
Yep.
Period. And then what interesting thing is simply this, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel, suggesting that this salvation is not just for the people of Israel, but for the whole world.
Yeah.
It brings glory to what God's done through the Jews.
Right.
There's still things that we should celebrate there. But this is for everybody.
Yeah, so this is just How old is Jesus here? Remind me.
He's roughly, 60, 70 years, days old.
Okay. So he's still pretty young. Yeah. So at least 33 years,
mm-hmm.
more than that, because Jesus died at 33 years old, that the revelation that Jesus was for the Gentiles as well came to Peter, that he was able to bring that to the Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
that this guy who is so full of the Holy Spirit had so much of the heart of God. He understood it in that moment,
yeah.
that it's for all people. It's not just for the Jews. The exactly. salvation is for all people. Where at the time it was Jesus coming, the Messiah is coming to save Jews. He's right. coming to save us from captivity or us from the situation. This guy had it because he had the heart of God.
Right.
And he's full of the Spirit. And that, like you said, it doesn't come from one day of praise.
Mm.
That dude's been praising for a long time over a long situations to see it this way. And I just love it. I love the fruitfulness there.
Absolutely. Good stuff. All right, let's continue on. Verse 33. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Mm. That's interesting. That
yeah.
They've had angels. They've had shepherds come out of the blue and said, we saw an army of angels. And now, again, depending on how you place things, they went on the run to Egypt.
Right.
And then they came back. Again, they're looking over their shoulders. I mean, think about it. They're looking over their shoulders, looking for whoever may still be out for their son. And then here we have this declaration. And they're like, God is really here with us in this child. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So here in this, at the end of this whole thing, he goes, now look, this is a special child, but he's going to cause people to have to make hard decisions.
Yeah.
And that hard decision is going to lead to a lot of heartache for your son. And then at the same time, he's going, and it's going to hurt you too, Mom. Mm. This is going to pierce your spirit.
Sure.
As you raise your son up here to do the right thing, his decisions he's going to make because you're doing this right.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt you yeah. in a big way. And I want to ask him, as a father,
mm-hmm.
and okay. I love it because you're on the precipice. You're about to take your own son off for a very fatherly kind of yeah. retreat type of thing. Yeah, you're yeah. raising your son up to be godly, mm-hmm. to be a man of God.
Sure.
But as a father who's raising your son in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, to make the proper decisions to follow the Lord, mm-hmm. you know that a lot of those decisions that if he makes the right ones will lead the world to hate him.
Sure.
Not because of him,
sure.
but because of the Lord.
Yeah.
He will have to make decisions that will cause people to go,
right.
We may have to hurt you because you've made this decision to follow the Lord.
Yeah.
As yeah. a father
uh-huh.
who's walking your son to do that, how do you deal with that potential pain and continue to go, even though this may hurt my son in some ways, I'm going to continue to do this. How do you walk that and how do you handle that knowledge going, decisions that he makes because of my teaching could hurt him in the future?
Yeah, well, if I'm being real frank right off the bat, that carries a different weight and perspective that maybe I haven't really even considered.
Okay.
But I think because I know the benefit of being in relationship with God far outweighs that sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if they're going to cuss me or beat me or yell at me or attack me? I have Jesus as my Lord and Savior, mm-hmm. and I'm a child of God, and there's nothing else more important. So for me, I'm not saying that's a great thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to change anything that I'm doing.
Right.
Because I don't care what the cost is going to be.
Yeah.
There's nothing more important than my son knowing the Lord. Now, I'm not training my son to be in ministry. I'm not training a little miniature pastor.
Right.
God's got that call in his life. That's between him and God.
Right.
I'm training him to be a man of God that follows the word of God.
Right.
That is a committed thing, just like Joseph, who is a carpenter here,
right.
Just following the customs of his law because he loved the Lord so much.
Right.
I want Joseph to be set up and mindful that, hey, one day, who cares about what the sacrifice is worth? This lifestyle with Jesus far outweighs any of the temporal pain that we can go through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know the words of Paul. He said, for me to die is the gain. You know,
right.
So I'm trying to change my son up to understand that at a young age and to know that the relationship's more than a belief in a deity.
Mm.
It's a relationship with the Father, and he
right.
can have that at a young age. Kids at his age in Jewish culture knew the whole Torah. Four books in the Bible, they
sure.
knew them front and back. They mm-hmm. memorized it. So the least I can do is teach him some of the scriptures in New Testament about how to live for the Lord at a young
right.
age. And Man, I don't like, I honestly, it's a great, great thought to think through, but man, I'd rather my son, I suffered at 12 years old. I was getting persecuted in public school. Mm-hmm. I would wear a shirt with Jesus or VeggieTales and they'd make fun of me and they'd laugh at me. I never got like beat up or anything, but
that's good.
It was hard to deal with the emotional, like I was an outcast and everybody mm-hmm. else, they were like, oh, Ben's on the bleachers preaching at PE class. I'm like, I never did that, you know? and I just felt like an outcast. I didn't fit in with one or two other people in the whole school. There were other Christians.
Right.
But it was like, you know, I don't care because this far outweighs mm-hmm. the benefit of the peace that comes
right.
when you can face life's most difficult situations and still know everything's going to work itself out. Yeah. This feeling stinks. This grief is heavy,
right.
but Jesus is here with me.
Yeah.
Like I am confident in that.
Yeah.
I can get through this.
Yeah.
You know, I've been through some hard stuff that the Lord has always seen me through mm-hmm. every situation. And I think that, as a father, there's no other thing that I want. If he's an all-star sports or all-star in the band or whatever he decides to do as he grows up, I don't care about those things. I want him. I'll support him. I'm for that. But he's not an athlete. He's not a musician. He's a child of God first.
Yeah.
And I want to give him every opportunity to, as he grows up, to make those decisions.
Word.
Because it's not my decision for him. He has to make that decision. But I'm going to show him the difference between just believing in Jesus and actually living with Jesus.
Right.
And I think when people really see that, there's no reason for them to say, I don't really want that. You know, I don't want that joy and that love and that peace. And no, that's wild. That's craziness.
Right.
So.
Well, and that almost goes back to our conversation earlier about Simeon. It's like, I know the fruit that will come by putting my trust in the promise.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing is, it's going to hurt at times.
Yeah.
Mary's looking at her son. She has an idea. But this whole thing of I'm raising my son up to die.
Yeah.
Literally. But she understands the fruit of that, the greaterness of it. You're raising your child up to, and this is what one thing we teach here is we don't raise our kids to hold up to. We raise up our kids to send them off, to go be their own, to be their own men, to be their own women. And that's painful for a parent.
Yeah.
But the fruit of that, the fruit that remains is we get to that they, it's now on them to make those appropriate choices to serve mm-hmm. the Lord. And when we see them serve the Lord, man, there's a joy that wells up. Man. Bonus points when it's the grandchildren that come back.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the cloud that Scott's on with his grandchild right now.
I bet.
Whenever he lights up. Rick, our producer over here, Rick, he lights up when he sees his granddaughter in church, just excited to be here.
Come on.
There's a thing that comes with that. But
absolutely.
That comes with you being solid today going, this sucks now.
Yeah. And parents and grandparents remind you that when the Lord has called your child or grandchild to the missions field.
Word.
And they're wanting to go to Africa. Don't put that fire out.
Yeah.
Fan it. That is a sacrifice that you have to make. But fan that thing because the Lord's hand is upon that child. Now they're gonna be like Africa, they may go wherever. But like man, I'm thinking like right now, yes, I want Joseph to see that. But then down the road, what if he calls him to be a missionary to a far-off world where I will lose connection physically?
Right.
I mean, technology, we can talk no matter where we are in the world today, but physically, to be able to hug my son, I may never have that opportunity because he may go to a place and be martyred for his faith.
Yeah.
But, man, it's so worth it.
Totally.
It's so worth the sacrifice.
Word.
To have your children in the house of the Lord, serving the Lord. Man, I encourage your parents to do it. And can I say this before we go on to the next part is – I just am so grateful for prophecy. I'm so grateful the ministry of prophecy. I'm not one that says I'm a prophet or anything like that, but I just feel like for a moment, if I can prophesy, there are people that may be listening to that. Not maybe, I'm just going to be confident and say there's somebody listening that in this moment you're having a hard time either one dreaming for yourself and for you can't see past your own either depression or darkness or cloudiness. Mm. Or maybe even you having trouble believing the dream you once had. Can I just tell you just to hold on that the Lord is on his way. He is going to come. Maybe just hold on. Don't give up yet. Don't quit yet. Don't give up on that ministry or that child or that thing. I sat, and this is why it's so strong in my faith today. I sat in a hospital of a lady that just had a stroke in our church. She's if not in her 90s, close to her 90s.
Yeah.
And she literally is coming on the better end of it. She's looking really good. But in her breath, when I came to pray with her this morning, she asked prayer for her son who's not serving the Lord. She got three sons. Mm-hmm. Two of them serve God. One of them is not. Called by me. She didn't want prayer for herself. She didn't want prayer for her. She wanted prayer for her son to come to know the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that to say that she hasn't given up on that dream.
Yeah.
And neither should you.
Word.
The Lord is with you. And I'm believing today that her son's going to come to know the Lord just as much as I'm believing for your dream. To the Lord is going to fulfill it, whatever it may or may not be. God's with you, and he sees your pain, and he sees your struggle. Don't give up in the waiting.
Love it. So good. So good. Whew. Well, speaking of prophets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
Verse 36. The prophetess. And there was a prophet named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, and she having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, I mean, she got married and she moved in with her husband for 7 years. Yep. And then as a widow, she was 84 until she was 84. So she got married only for 7 years, and then her husband dies. So she's a widow. And she did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So she herself, she just sees just Jesus. She's a child, and she knows what's going on. She hears Simeon, and she's now prophesying about what she's seen, what she's heard. Mm. There's this thing that's welled up inside of her, this faithful, devout woman of God.
Yeah.
And it's this beautiful moment. Now, to date, there's a pattern of people experiencing Jesus and then boldly proclaiming what they've seen and experienced. That's been the pattern that we've seen throughout the gospel so far. Right. I want to ask you this question. Why do you think so many people today don't do that? And how can we encourage people to do so? Why do people, you've been in the church world long enough, you've seen it where, man, people just, there's almost a timidness, a fear to share the gospel. Do you even to share, man, God moved on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And how can we stir people?
Yeah,
just ourselves?
It's a very, very, I'd say complex. It's probably a lot of right answers.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably not one particular thing, but immediately what jumps off into my brain about that question is, just the fire in the church has died down.
Mm.
It's there. Mm-hmm. It's still burning. It is not over. It has not gone out in the Western church. It's burning, but it's so quiet because we're so scared of rejection. We're so scared of, and when we deal with young people today are so accepting of every form of life because they feel like that's the right thing to do. That's what love is. And again, you can love and not accept a lifestyle. I mean, that's a whole other conversation for another day. But I think that we're so fearful of what may happen if we won't win so-and-so to the Lord, because if we stand up and say what God is doing for us, then people are going to be offended or whatever the case may be, that we allow it. It's like Jesus, the light on a city on a hill, and you light a lamp, you don't put it under a bowl. It's like, that bowl is not closed, but it's getting there. And I literally, right before I came here, I had a candle in my office lid. I put the lid on it, and it went out. And I feel like we're so close to that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what's going to happen. But it feels like we're close to that because I feel like the Lord is just looking for those that he can fan that flame back up and build it back up, somebody that will come along and be bold. But here's what I love about this woman is that it says, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, going back to our earlier conversation, people struggle to even get up to the morning on Sunday.
Yeah.
You want to see the flame burning in your life. You want to see revival. You want to see God move and all this stuff. We've got to stop putting on the performance on a Sunday morning, and we got to get in the presence of the Lord on Mondays, on Tuesdays. I got a buddy of mine who pastors a church down south. They do a 24-hour prayer room.
Wow.
And they're seeking God. They're not always somebody in the prayer room, but that's open 24 hours. And they're seeking the Lord, and they're seeing God do some incredible things. Does that make it always easy? No, it's not. Always. There's still challenges that we face. But, man, there's revival taking place down south in the bayou of Louisiana at this guy's church because his willingness to say day and night we're worshiping, day and night, the only thing, they just changed the name of their church, the Kingdom Church. You know, the whole heartbeat is we're going to be about God's kingdom, about what God wants to do, about honoring him, not about one person, not about a certain talented team. It's about God. It's about his presence. When we begin to make our lives and our relationship with Jesus only and solely about Jesus and not about the accolades or not about the things around us, then that flame starts to, the Lord says, that's my people. That's where the flame is burning. And we start to worship day and night. Then we start to know and feel his voice and hear him speak to us and know when he's whispering. And we can hear his, and then chase after that whisper. Right. And he said, hey, speak love to that guy. Okay, I can know.
Word.
Your pastor is one of the greatest at that. He'll catch me in a hallway walking around. I'll just say something. He asked me the other day, it was a month or so back, how you doing, Ben? I said, oh, I'm all right. And he said, no, how you doing? And I guess he heard the fluxion, the little thing in my voice that just made it. And I said, well, I'm just really tired right now in this season. I'm just having a hard time just figuring out the pace of where I'm at. And he just began to prophesy over me, not in this big prophetic, thus saith the Lord. It was just a very, and he walked away, and I don't even know if he knew, he probably did, but I don't know if he knew the real impact. And I walked away from that. I was like, okay, I need to get back to day and night worship.
Yeah.
That's what I got from the conversation. Word. And since then, I've been a lot better with my sleep and getting caught yeah. up. And it's because your pastor was willing to hear God's voice in any moment because he's there day and night. Mm-hmm. So how do we get that from being bold? It starts with getting in God's presence and allowing Holy Spirit, which generates boldness. Look at Peter's Word. Life in Acts chapter 2, to preach the gospel, to live the gospel, to be yeah. the gospel. So I think that's part of my answer. It's probably way more complicated and go a thousand directions about sin and acceptance of that. But there's so many. I think fear of rejection is a huge one for me.
Right.
And I think our lack of being in the presence of Jesus, yeah. in the presence of the Father,
definitely
is a huge part.
It's one of those things, like, it's easy to talk about things when you're around it a lot. You know what yeah. I'm saying? It's easy for me to talk about you because I hang out with you because we talk and we do
yeah.
stuff together.
Yeah.
It's easy for me to talk about my wife because I'm with my wife a lot.
Yeah.
If we're not around the Lord a lot.
That's so good.
It's hard to share about what the Lord is doing.
So good.
Anna is, she's with the Lord all the time.
Day and night.
Day and night. Literally sleeping in a room on the side of the temple, probably.
Yeah.
And then she sees Jesus. Now there's just even more of a fire. When yeah. you're with the Lord and then the God moves in a special way, it just fires you up even more. And it doesn't say that she wasn't prophesying about who God was beforehand. She was a prophet. She was always talking
yeah.
about the Lord.
Yeah.
But now something special happened.
Yep.
And if we had a pattern of being in the presence of the Lord.
Come on.
On a regular basis. I'm not talking about just playing K-Love in your car.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to make a joke about road rage, but praying, but if we're not, you know, but I mean, for real, like, if we're really in his presence.
That's so good.
Have his praise on our lips day and night.
I don't know. You guys sing that Worthy of It All song,
yeah.
day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite songs to sing. And then sometimes I get convicted. Because I'm leading worship my guitar, I'm yeah. singing this song, and I'm like, oh, this week was not day and night.
Yeah.
This week was maybe once.
Right.
I'm a failure. Mm. Not a failure. I'm not a failure. That's speaking negative of myself, right. but I failed this week. I need to do better.
Yeah.
Because we oftentimes in church, we sing lies. Mm. Almost every Sunday, there's somebody in the congregation singing a song that they don't really mean, like the Refiner's Fire. Burn me up, Refiner's Fire. You understand what you're praying, what you're saying, what you're declaring. Night and day, day and night, night and day. Let incense arise. Let our praise arise.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different level of commitment. That's
yeah.
a Mary Joseph going all the way down to Bethlehem to travel across the world to dedicate their child.
Mm.
Not just plan a right Sunday that works for your family schedule.
Yeah.
Like we do in today's society. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
And man, this woman had it. She yeah. understood it. And you said this chapter, and I read it the first time through when we were talking about me coming to help,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of frowned, and I was like, why this chapter? Why did I get stuck with this one? And then I see this scripture, and I was like, God, why is this even in the Bible?
Mm.
Why is Anna, why the daughter of Phanuel? I can't say it. How did you say it? You said it good earlier. from the tribe of Asher. Why is her name in the Bible?
Right.
That's because of that right there.
Yeah.
She knew God.
Yeah.
Day and night.
Right.
She's with him.
Yeah.
And we need to be a church that gets back to loving the presence of the Father.
Yeah.
And I think that's where our biggest issue
yeah.
lies, is that we don't know the Father's heart because we don't spend time with the Father.
So good.
Get back into your personal life. If you don't know how to do that, talk to Dallas. Talk to Pastor Scott. There's so many people. Rick, there's so many people that are here
right.
at the Healing Place that can help you with that. Or your local church. I'm sure your pastors are great as well. Come to Gateway Church. Our pastor's great.
Yeah.
We can help find somebody that can coach you. Find yeah. somebody that is like Pastor Scott, whose life I look at and I'm like, man, one day I want to be like him. That can help coach you and show you the right way.
Right.
Does that mean he'll never mess up and make a mistake? No, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he has. But I'm learning along the way.
Yeah.
And some of life's lessons is learned to not what not to do when you're following somebody that did something wrong. It happens.
Yeah.
But don't let that keep you from growing in your own law, in your own life. And don't let it stop you from reaching down and reaching somebody else up.
Yeah.
And man, just God, can I just give a praise real quick of something that God has done?
Come on.
And we don't do it enough, but I just talked to a guy at our church. He got saved about 9 months ago, maybe a year ago. Now it probably was more closer to a year, but he was Uber driving. That's one of the things he does. He Uber drives and door dashes. And I got a call from a guy. He picks up a guy that just OD'd at a hospital. He OD'd, and he picks him up, and he's talking to him. Now he has a testimony of his own of just not living for the Lord, and now he is. And so he's sharing this testimony. He's like, you need to come to church with me. So this guy shows up to church. This guy gives his life to Jesus. A few weeks later, this guy is encouraged by this newly saved Christian who doesn't have all the theology and all the things figured out.
Word.
To join a teen challenge, which is a Christian-based, faith-based, get free from your addictions. Thank you. That was the word I was struggling with. Addictions. And now the guy enrolled himself. I didn't even know. I thought maybe he dropped off. I thought, oh man, I need to pray for this guy. I haven't seen him in a long time. Maybe he's back in the world.
Right.
Hopefully he's not doing drugs again. And here I asked the guy about, hey, where's this guy been? Oh, he's living at Teen Challenge now.
Come on.
What in the world? And I got convicted because I was like, here I am with a doubt because I've been serving God for so long. I've seen so many people do it the wrong way.
Right.
And this dude is killing it fresh right off the Lord. God is still good. He will use you if you're Uber driving. Just be sensitive to it. And this guy's like, hey, God, you use me. And maybe I can help somebody. I can bless somebody. He wasn't scared to talk about Jesus on an Uber drive. He didn't care about his 5-star rating or whatever it is. He's like, this guy's life's more important than that. And
so good.
From the looks of it, he needs a 10-star rating. So.
That's it. That's it. I got to ask this question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was he his Uber to church?
He wasn't his Uber to church, but he did pick him up later on to bring him to church. I don't know if he picked. You know, I don't know the answer to that question. Maybe Stephen, if you're watching this, did you make him pay you, bro? I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
Oh, that's my gosh. That's funny. All right. Let's we can get a little bit silly. That's such a good testimony, though. And that's such a great example. Just doing life. He's fresh off the boat with the Lord, but he's just sharing the gospel. It doesn't have to be weird. You're just doing life with people, doing your normal job. Share what the Lord's done in your life and how God can brought freedom to you. And that just transforms people's lives in an instant. If we're just being honest about where we're at with the Lord, even if you're terrible with the Lord right now, even if you're struggling to have a prayer life, share that. Like, I'm really working on this. Why would you share that with somebody? Because it shows the person that you are trying your best to be as sincere about the Lord as you can
be. So good.
And that can change lives.
So good.
Whew. All right, I'm about to get wild if I don't calm down for a second.
Get our praise shoes on.
Let's go. We'll wrap this portion up with these two verses here.
Yeah.
And when they have performed everything according to the law of the Lord, again, that's their faithfulness to do everything that they needed to, they returned into Galilee. It to their own town, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon them. Again, I want to preface this. Likely, they had come from Egypt, and they spent this entire time in Jerusalem looking over their shoulder going, is somebody still out to kill our child? Mm-hmm. And yet here in this moment, they have received words of wisdom and praise from a gentleman who's been waiting for decades, a woman of God who is simply just who wants to serve the Lord. And now, because they've been bolstered by these things, they're like, it's safe for us to continue on and go home and raise our child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That is the power of you sharing what God's doing in you with other people. They're carrying the Son of Jesus. And yet it says they were marveling at what Simeon said. If we're willing to share our faith, share this praises, share in song what God's doing, it could change a person's life. So they go, I can go home now.
I
can affirm what God has done. You have affirmed what God's done in my life. Don't even know it.
Yeah.
Scott just stopped you in the hallway and said, how you doing? He didn't know what was going on,
but
it changed something in your life. If we are willing to do that, just simply be honest with people going, hey, this is what the Lord's doing.
Yeah.
This is what God's done inside of me. That can change a person's life and affirm what's going on in their life.
Yep.
If we're faithful to do those things.
Testimony, my friend Stephen, the Uber driver, guy that got, it wasn't church that got that guy saved. Mm-hmm. Now, that might have been the moment, but it was this guy saying, hey, here's my testimony.
Word.
If God can do this for me, he can help you through this situation that you're just coming out of.
So good.
And that's what caught that guy's attention.
Right.
But this guy is not a preacher that's buttoned up, wearing a suit and tie, and looks all good, wearing sneakers and preachers, whatever the case may be. This is a guy that's Uber driving and said, I just came off of a bunch of stuff that was a bunch of junk. God did it for me. He could do it for you.
Right.
And that's exactly what you're saying, man. Just tell your testimony. Let people know of the goodness of God and what he's doing in your life.
So good. Woo. We've had a lot happen today in this episode already, and we got more to go next week as we're going to continue the conversation and finish up the book of Luke. But just in this conversation, we've had a prophetic word to parents and grandparents and people who are like, you're praying for something, there's something dark, and you're asking God to make a move. We're serious about that.
Yeah.
And if we can pray with you about that, let us know. Let us know what it is. If we've had a movement today where we said, hey, you need to stop the podcast and you go praise and worship the Lord for something, we want to hear about that. Reach out to us, mediahub@chreport.com. Let us know how we can pray with you guys. Give us praise what God's done in your life. Even in the comment section on YouTube, you putting that in there, somebody can come back and see that and be like, man, I'm so challenged. We have a video on our main page for The Healing Place. It's a YouTube short, and people are going, amen, praise the Lord. And it's spurring conversation. People are seeing those things, and they're like, they're stirring inside of them even. So you just doing that in the YouTube section, that does stuff. And because there's so many action points that we've had that's come out of this, Ben, can you pray over the audience, and then we'll close out
that
way.
We'd love to. Father, we are honored by your presence. Lord, we are honored that you are with us, that even in this video, Lord, me and Dallas and Rick here, Lord, we felt the Holy Spirit was with us. We felt him upon us, and we're honored by that you would love us enough to be with us, to dwell with us in whatever living room, our bedroom, our car that they're listening to this podcast, or wherever they may be, that they're hearing you speak to them today. And whatever thing may have tugged their heart or pulled them, whether it was a dream or whether it was one of the other parts of our conversation today, I pray that that would pull them to you so closely that the life that they are living would be transformed by the presence of God, that they would be closer to you, and that they would give you all honor. Honor and all glory. We praise your holy name forever. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Guys, find us on YouTube, Midweek Move. Don't forget to email us, mediahub@thspreeport.com. Don't forget, we love you guys. Till next time, have a great week.